Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Further Review. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, along with Jay Skirsky from the Buffalo News. We are talking the morning after Bills 30, Miami 27 down at the stadium. And our views of Tyler Bass over the course of an hour changed drastically, Jay, from missed extra point to nearly missed extra point to record-setting field goal. You tackled every aspect of that after the game. Walk us through what you saw.
Yeah, I would say even maybe the timeline would even be a little more condensed than that, maybe even a couple of minutes, right? I think, you know, as I wrote today, it was at 4:01. I think most fans were sort of dreading what was about to happen, right? And at 4:03, when that game ended, it was delirium. It was an amazing kick. I mean, I easily, in talking with Mark Gaughan, who's been around this team as long as just about anyone, the unlikeliest, I would say, in team history because of the distance, right? Of course, longest in team history. But Bass's struggles, the way he had been kicking the ball really all season, to the point that the team had to bring in a kicker on the practice squad to have a competition with him. You know, he had not made a field goal from 50 yards since week four, hadn't even made one from 40 yards, over that time. So he had not really been challenged, but this was inevitable, right, Ryan? I mean, there was going to come a time. The NFL is a league full of close games. So the idea that Bass had not had a meaningful kick to this point was an anomaly. It was hard to believe. There was going to come a time where the franchise had to rely on him, and based on what he had done up to, you know, really going back to last season, and in particular the playoffs against the Chiefs and the first eight games of this season, you would have been justified in thinking this is not going to go well. But to his credit, and you know how meaningful it was for him, you know how meaningful it was for his teammates and his coaching staff, he absolutely drilled the thing. I mean, it was right down the middle. It was probably good from 65. And I'm curious now to see what this means for this guy's career going forward, because if you want to talk about a confidence booster, it'd be hard to find a better kick to build confidence than that one.
Yeah, and you know, when they lined up for it, the only thing I'm thinking is just don't have it blocked. I mean, yeah, at least give it a chance, because then a block, anything could happen, and maybe time runs out. But if he misses it, then Miami, I think, has a chance to, you know, try their own kind of Hail Mary. But you know, you got to think, from if you're Bass now, you're looking at those extra points. Okay, what happened there? How can I make that but miss those? So I do think that the focus is still going to be on Tyler Bass, because he's missing things that most kickers don't miss. But then he makes one most kickers don't make. So I think it was obviously a positive for him. And you know, Sean McDermott was asked about being vindicated and stuff. I don't think that's really part of the equation. I mean, they signed the kicker to the practice squad a couple weeks ago, then cut him during the week as a, you know, vote of confidence, I guess, for Bass. But I think kickers in this league, it's a game to game thing. But if you're him, you have to use this as momentum, saying, hey, forget about that other stuff. Let's make the long ones and the extra points.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, and to Bass's credit, he acknowledged it after the game. He said, you're only as good as your next kick. He knows that he's not going to be able to coast just because, hey, I made a really great kick against the Dolphins. Remember that. He's going to have to come through. There are going to be times later in this season. It could be as soon as this week. Certainly, you look 2 weeks down the road against the Chiefs, and we know that those are close games, that they are going to need him. But I think it has to be more of the what does it do for him and his confidence moving forward, because obviously his confidence had to have been shaken given the way the season went. So if he can use this and say, hey, I'm good enough, I belong in this league, I know what I'm doing, I can make these kicks. Yeah, now, does that mean that if we get into the Colts game and he misses another extra point or he misses a field goal that the Bills need to have, that we're not going to have this conversation again? No, it'll come up again. But I think if there was one guy on the roster who needed something to go right, it was Tyler Bass, and it went right in the best possible way against the Dolphins on Sunday.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit consumersbeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, when you look at rest of this game, outside of that that kick by Tyler Bass, I think the one thing that stands out offensively for this team, another slow start, which you don't love in the first half, but Josh Allen throws three touchdown passes in the second half. Not a surprise, given what he's done against the Dolphins in his career. The surprise might be, though, who those three went to. You're looking at Mac Hollins, Ray Davis, and Quinton Morris on his first target of the season as the touchdown catch makers, I guess, for lack of a better term. Unlikely heroes, kind of like Bass in this game. What did you think of the impact of three guys who certainly are not stars?
Yeah, if you had Morris, Davis, and Hollins on your Bills bingo card, I want gambling advice from you moving forward. But you mentioned that slow start, Jay. They scored 30 points, yet you probably agree with me. It just seemed like they're out of sorts all day on offense. I mean, even that last drive was sort of a, handed to them with a couple penalties. But, mentioned the three guys. Without Amari Cooper, Mac Hollins played more, had that one-yard touchdown catch on fourth down, had some other key catches. They love him, and Josh Allen likes him, and he digs out blockers in the run game, so you're going to keep on seeing more of him. The Ray Davis play was a terrific play. It was the right call for what Miami did. They blitzed. Linebacker got caught up in traffic, and, Ray broke that tackle around the 40-yard line, and, James Cook is their starter. He's going to stay their starter. He should be their starter. But every time I see Davis with the football, he's moving forward. Yeah. And he has a low center of gravity in the run game, so he's able to fall forward and crawl for yards. And then the pass game, he's looked very comfortable as well. And then, the most unlikely one was Morris. Yeah, as you mentioned, he had a target all year. It wasn't so much of a throw as it was a shot put by Josh Allen. And, Morris was started to play in pass protection. So, minus Cooper, that means teams are going to pay extra attention to Kincaid. At this point what you're going to get from Shakir, which is production. Those guys can't do it all. So I think from a Bills perspective, getting Davis more touches in the pass game, they trust Hollins, and then Morris, if he gets one next week, we'll write about him again. We'll talk about him again because it'll be unexpected. But positives for all those guys yesterday.
Yeah, to your first point, I think if you had parlayed a Mac Hollins, Quinton Morris, Ray Davis touchdown scorers, if I had parlayed that, let me rephrase it. I don't think you and I would be talking today, Ryan. I would be buying a beach house in Aruba, and I would probably be retired at this point.
That'd be a mic drop.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I don't know what that would have paid, but I know your retirement accounts would have been looking pretty good. But for Hollins, I think that's the role that you want him in, right? Where you don't have to rely on him to be a guy that is kind of carrying the offense. But if he can chip in, and listen. Do I think he's a great receiver? No, I don't. I'll be honest. I think but as a fourth or a fifth receiver, fine. And to his credit, he was throwing the ball five times and he caught it all five times. They only went for 30 yards, but when they needed him to make catches, he did. And you look at that last drive, he gave them 11 yards on two catches. That gets them into position to try the field goal for Bass, right? And so he came through, and I love all your points about Davis. I think he's a heck of a player. Really impressive. I thought he should have got the ball maybe even a little bit more. I didn't think Cook played badly yesterday. I thought he played fine, but I thought Davis, when he was in there, really seemed to be running hard and as you said, falling forward for those extra yards. And yeah, the Morris play, I mean, that's just one of those fun ones where, it's the third tight end who's a special teamer and a blocker and he's there to make the catch. You're not going to depend on that every week, certainly not, but it was fun nonetheless. And, it kind of goes back to the whole everybody eats thing. When they're winning, it works. And it worked yesterday to a point. It didn't always work, especially in the first half. They had some issues in the red zone that, they definitely need to clean up when they play against better teams starting next week. And of course, in 2 weeks against the Chiefs, they got to be better in the red zone. But, Josh Allen does what he does against the Dolphins. He finds a way. He's now 13-2 in his career against Miami. In 12 of those 15 games, the offense has scored 30 points. And to your point, they scored 30 yesterday and didn't even look all that great in doing it.
Well, Jay, we're recording this at 9:43 a.m. on Monday. The NFL trade deadline is Tuesday at 4 o'clock. The Bills don't have a lot of cap space to add money. they've already traded their third round pick in the Amari Cooper deal, but let's look at this deadline briefly. But in conjunction with some of the injury issues the Bills are encountering, Brandon Bean, play GM.
Yeah, well, I think we got to get the injury report first, right? And we'll get whatever kind of an update we get from Sean McDermott sometimes on Monday. That is not all that substantial in terms of updates. But the two that we've really got to be focused on right now are Keon Coleman. We saw him coming off the field late in the game on Sunday, got hit by Jordan Poyer, ended up being a flag on that play. But if that is, if that's a long-term injury or even a medium term, if he's out, let's say a month, something like that, I think you're looking at that's an issue, right? Because we don't know what the situation is with Amari Cooper. You can't be without those two guys. And if Cooper's back, maybe you can survive at receiver, but if it's Cooper and Coleman out, you don't have enough at that position. They've gotten nothing from Curtis Samuel. You can't, then you're in a position where you're relying on Mac Hollins for 70% of the plays, and that just isn't going to work. So I'm really focused on that. The other one, DeJuan Smoot, obviously left the game with a wrist injury, wasn't able to return. If Smoot is out, I think that's a really big blow to this run defense. And that was an issue for the Bills. And I know I was looking this morning, I've seen some stats that the run defense is maybe not as bad as you might think in terms of DVOA and some of those advanced numbers. But listen, the Dolphins ran the ball almost at will yesterday against the Bills. Not a good showing in my mind for Ed Oliver, for Daquan Jones. Where are those guys in the middle of that defense? So do they need to maybe address the defensive line? Whether, I don't know if it's edge rusher. I mean, you're running six deep at that position, but do they have to fortify the interior of that defensive line to maybe shore up the run defense? I think those are the two spots and the two injuries that I'm really focused on right now.
Yeah. This is the test we use for this rush run defense, our eyes.
Yeah.
Miami did whatever they wanted yesterday. Yeah. You're going to have some no gains when you're running it 31 times, but they averaged 4.8 a carry and only had a long of 16. So it wasn't skewed at all like the Ravens game against the Bills, but good points on the receivers. I would consider Calais Campbell for that defensive interior spot from Miami. He's on an expiring contract, won't cost a lot of money, and he can play. He can slide out the end if you really need him, but he's a big guy in the middle. And, you know, if Smoot's out, then I think you need some snaps there. The other position I keep looking at is linebacker. You know, they activated two rookies yesterday as backups to Bernard and Dorian Williams. Spectre's played okay in a backup role, but is there, for me, it's almost like Terrell Bernard is having one of those years where it's just going to be something else injury wise. He's going to fight through it. He's going to battle. But if he has to miss a couple games, you know, who's your Mike? Who's your green dot? Do you trust Spectre to do it? So if I'm Brandon Bean, I'm making a couple of calls today to see if there's a veteran linebacker who's better than Nicholas Morrow, who was a healthy scratch yesterday. So it's an interesting day for Brandon Bean because you're 7-2, you lead the division by four games, yet you got some issues production wise and injury wise.
Yeah, I love the Campbell idea. 38 years old, he might be Miami's best defensive player this season, most consistent defensive player, and we know that the Bills have had an interest in him in the past. He's made a free agent visit here to Buffalo. Walter Payton, Man of the Year, he would fit right in the locker room, and I agree with you. I think he'd help that defensive line. Interesting to see whether Miami decides to sell or if they feel like, despite being 2-6, that they're still in it. I think the seventh seed in the AFC might be still up for grabs potentially, but they can. What can they afford to lose? Maybe one more game, two at the absolute most. So I don't know if Miami will go into seller mode, but that'll be something that we watch here as you mentioned, Ryan, just before 10 a.m. on Monday as we're recording. We'll be focused on the deadline here, which comes at 4 p.m. on Tuesday over the next day and a half or so. And Ryan, I will be honest with you. I did not make it through the end of the Colts game last night. They did play on Sunday Night Football against the Vikings. They lost that game, only scored 6 points on offense. The quarterback change to Joe Flacco did not spark the offense. If anything, it might have been even a little bit worse. Did take the ball away 3 times from the Vikings, but still managed to lose that game by 8 points. In doing so, dropped below 500. Loud place to play, though, Lucas Oil Stadium. I still maintain that the quarterback switch from Richardson to Flacco makes this a bit of a harder game for the Bills. I don't know how much of the game you saw last night, but just where are your overall impressions of the Colts right now?
Yeah, I didn't make it to the finish line because the game was basically a snooze. A lot of turnovers. Flacco did not look good. I was surprised at that. I thought he would be able to be efficient against the Vikings blitz because he's seen everything in his career. You know, maybe getting another full week of practice with Flacco playing at home, maybe that will help. But you know, this has got to be a better day for the Bills offense. I mean, the Colts cannot stop the run. So maybe this is a James Cook, Ray Davis day. Indianapolis is 26th against the, 26th against the pass, 31st against the run. They're worse than I originally looked. So, you know, with Gus Bradley, it's a bend but don't break defense. They'll buckle down in the red zone, get a turnover like they did yesterday. So, I mean, the Bills should be favored to win this game. And really, to me, the key is don't allow the huge play, because that's how the Colts score their points. Make them drive down the field, they'll make a mistake.
Yeah, and you look at the wide receiver injuries, which we touched on, that might even lead more into the idea that you want to rely on Cook and Ray Davis. And hey, let's give Ty Johnson a little love here too. He had a 17-yard rush yesterday against the Dolphins and has played pretty well. The thing that concerns me, I would say, about this game is the potential for the quote-unquote trap game, right? Because you look at the schedule, you've got the Chiefs the following week, you know, nothing more needs to be said to promote that game. And then it's the bye, right? And so you want to continue this momentum. You know, the one seed in the conference is not out of the question with a head-to-head game against the Chiefs still on the schedule. So it would be a lot harder, though, with a letdown type of a loss to Indianapolis. So guard against that, come home, and obviously then we'll all be fired up for that meaningful game against Kansas City. But they've got to go to Indianapolis and handle their business. I think if they play clean football, they should be able to do that. Ryan and I will be back after that game next Monday against Indianapolis. The Bills will be, at that point, either 8-2 or 7-3 following their victory on Sunday against Miami. So, for Ryan O'Halloran, I am Jay Skursky. Thanks so much for watching and listening to Further Review, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.